from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our next guest interviewed Browns guard Wyatt Teller. Obviously, he works for GoLongTD.com. He also wrote The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football. Ty Dunn joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How you doing, Ty?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, fellas. Always good to catch up here.
Well, it's great to have you here. I you know, there were so many things that were said with Wyatt Teller. I saying this genuinely, although it never really happens genuinely in radio. I thought you did a great job with that conversation. I really thought the stuff about Baker, where Wyatt was like, you know, I think if Baker maybe calms down a little bit, not only does Baker stay that year, but Baker's still the Browns quarterback. Did you find yourself agreeing with what you were hearing from Wyatt on that?
Not exactly. Yeah, and I usually agree with everything Wyatt Teller says. He's like a long-lost brother, man. He's just infectious, you know, whiskey-drinking, alligator-hunting, just son of a gun. He's a likable guy. But on the Baker Mayfield stuff, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I don't know. If I'm Baker Mayfield, you know, I just sacrificed my body for your organization with that wrecked shoulder. I mean, everybody listening remembers that season. It was brutal for the team, brutal for the quarterback, and he lost himself a lot of money trying to play through that thing. So I always kind of empathize for the player and especially the quarterbacks with, you know, the injuries and the pressure and everything that's on these guys' shoulders. So I kind of get it, why he was a little pissed off with how the front office and the team maybe handled his contract situation. And I don't know all the nitty-gritty of those negotiations, but, you know, Wyatt Teller just has a different mindset. You know, he's a lineman. He was shipped out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he had to kind of rebuild himself, rebuild his confidence. So I get his perspective on just kind of taking a deep breath. And, you know, he's a really religious, faithful person who believes everything does happen for a reason. He just had to kind of see it through. So he's thinking in his mind, look, just take a deep breath and things will work out. But I don't know, especially after you trade for Deshaun Watson and you give up what you gave up for Deshaun Watson, that's the direction you're going if you're the Browns.
So let's play out Wyatt's scenario. How different the last 2 years look if Baker maybe kowtows or maybe says, you know what, I don't want to be traded. I don't care about the adult in the room thing. I'd like to stay here. How different do the last 2 years look for the Browns, for Baker, for maybe Deshaun?
Ooh, man, there's a counterfactual I like. I think that seeing the Baker Mayfield that we're seeing right now in Tampa Bay, that's the guy. I mean, that's the guy that Elliott Wolf and John Dorsey and Scott McLuhan, everybody that made that decision, you know, they could have had any quarterback they wanted in that draft. They chose that Heisman winner out of Oklahoma. That's what they expected. A leader of men. You talk to anybody who's been around Baker Mayfield, they want to run through a wall for the guy. It's hard to quantify what makes him, you know. There isn't just one physical attribute like a Lamar or a Josh Allen that pops, that you fall in love with. It's all that stuff you can't quantify on the spreadsheet. So, I think that the Browns are a Super Bowl contender. They're one of the best teams in the AFC. Thing is, though, I think they still are. I think that they still are in really good shape. That's such a testament to this front office. The fact that they execute this trade that hasn't really worked out for a ton of different reasons, and you still have a team here that can win a Super Bowl. I mean, this defense is arguably the best in the NFL. they find a way to get points on offense, which is crazy. Five different players starting at quarterback. The line just decimated. Nick Chubb split in half. So the fact that they got anything out of that offense last year is just a testament to the resourcefulness of the front office, the coaching staff, and it can only go up for Deshaun Watson. So thinking through that lens, I think you should be hopeful if you're the Browns in 2024.
You know, one thing that was interesting about your sit down with Wyatt is he talked about his offensive line coach and the fact that, you know, Bill Callahan's not here. And I don't know that he took any shots at him per se, but it was interesting his comments like about how he's kind of excited to, you know, to have a new coach and to I don't remember the exact phrasing of what he said, but what was your take on it? I mean, when he talked about the offensive line and the new coach,
that was probably the most surprising back and forth that we had in our conversation, because when I first met Wyatt Teller at his place down there in Ohio, this would have been 2021. So he had just kind of broken onto the scene, and right around the time he signed that contract, and he brought up Bill Callahan several times. Now, granted, Bill Callahan is his current coach at that time, and now Bill Callahan is his former coach. So you might get a little bit more honesty in the latter conversation. But just effusive with his praise, and he still is, to your point. I mean, this is one of the best offensive line coaches ever. He said it himself this second time around. But this second time around, you really get the feeling that it was a love-hate relationship, that Bill Callahan was brutal. I mean, he was hard on Wyatt Teller, hard on all the offensive linemen. He tells the story of that Christmas Eve game against the Saints. Hell, he just had his son Brooks 5 days prior. I think all of us dads remember those hospital beds. They're brutal. It's hardest on the dad, right? I mean, that's what it's really about when a baby's born. It's really hard on the dad. But no, he wasn't sleeping that well in the hospital room. And it was, negative, whatever he said, 17, 18 degrees. And they couldn't do much on offense. And there was just no love lost in that film room after that loss. And he just said that Bill Callahan, when you're down, he just kind of keeps pushing. He just keeps pushing. It's just, he never really thought that he was a good player for this coach. That he never, it felt like he didn't earn his respect, but maybe that was, as he said, kind of the genius of Bill Callahan. He's old school that way. He's playing chess when you're playing checkers. And hey, Wyatt Teller is considered one of the best guards in football, got himself a big deal. Things have kind of worked out for him since the Bills traded him away for not much. So he is thankful for him. At the same time, yeah, he sounds really excited to have a different offensive line coach.
Harkening back to your fatherhood conversation, I loved when Pat Mahomes was asked about him and his wife having their third kids any more after this, and he goes, "I'm done." Like, yeah, you're done, huh? I don't think we're the ones that get to make that call, Kemosabe. Now, specific to the Browns, there's been a conversation. Dustin and I probably had it less than anybody else in the station, but we have had it. And it's about this conversation about pressure on Deshaun Watson and whether Deshaun has the most pressure on him more than anybody else. And I'll be honest with you, we've all been having this conversation since the second they traded for Deshaun Watson. Do you think there's still palpable pressure on Deshaun going into year three in Cleveland? And what exactly is that pressure on? Because he's been paid. He has, you know, somewhat of a legacy on the football field previously. There's some reason to stand. He can still feel pretty good about where he is in his career and his life.
Yeah, I mean, I've sat down with him before when he was in Houston. I was at Bleacher Report at the time. I get the sense that stuff matters. Legacy matters. His place in the history of the game matters. I mean, at one point, he just grabbed my notebook and he's drawn up high school formations. I mean, he genuinely cares about this stuff. And I get it. There's many different directions you can take it, Deshaun Watson conversation. But even getting paid and getting that guaranteed money, that historic guaranteed money, I think that's in him. I think that he still has a desire to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, that's not the case for everybody who gets paid. And there is going to be pressure on him, obviously. I think that, you know, it all is going to boil down to Deshaun Watson this year. But you look at what, you know, Andrew Berry, Glenn Cook, that whole front office has done for him, and Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, David Njoku. I mean, we'll see what they have at running back. But I love Nyheim Hines, by the way. This is a dynamic threat that Buffalo had big plans for before his freak accident. I think they've done so much around him. And then you bring in Ken Dorsey, who, I don't know, I feel like the narrative kind of got spun out of control here in Western New York around Ken Dorsey. And he was scapegoated after a special teams head coaching blunder on Monday Night Football, which was bizarre. I think this is a really good situation for Deshaun Watson. I feel like Dorsey's going to get the most out of him. And he's got arguably the best supporting cast at receiver line around him in the division. So, yeah, there's pressure on him, but he's going to be set up for success.
Ty, do you think it's smart for the Browns to essentially run it back with primarily everybody that they have from last year? I mean, they've made some subtle additions. I mean, the Jerry Jeudy thing was interesting in the offseason. But, I mean, it's primarily the same defense, primarily the same guys on offense, a healthy Nick Chubb, which will help, certainly. Do you think the team's good enough as it currently sits to compete for a title, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that Texans game shocked me like it shocked everybody out there, I'm sure. I didn't expect a blowout, that's for sure, especially with the way Jim Schwartz's defense played all year. I like it, though. I like the fact that they're running it back, and I think they still made some pretty smart tweaks, whether it's a Nyheim Hines entering the picture now and Jerry Jeudy maybe getting the most out of him. They still did little things here and there that I think were pretty smart. And living here in Buffalo, I feel like I gained a whole new appreciation for Jim Schwartz just talking to Bills players on the defensive side of the ball who had Jim Schwartz, and then they went to Rex Ryan. I mean, they went from a defense in 2014 that was ascending and shutting down Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, the best of the best in their prime. It was simplistic, point A to point B, just attack mode, and, you know, there's all the bravado on top of that he brings that still matters in pro football. And then it went to Rex. It went to just mass confusion and players subbing in and out constantly. I mean, Preston Brown, the middle linebacker, we had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. I mean, it was a circus show off the field with Rex, but really a circus show on it. You know, defensive players loved his personality, but they couldn't grasp this scheme. They missed Jim Schwartz. They didn't talk about Jim Schwartz with such reverence. So to bring him back, and that's another year, another offseason, more knowledge in that scheme with, by the way, some of the best defensive players in the game, Myles Garrett, Darius Smith, I like Jordan Hicks. I mean, obviously at corner with Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, that you've got the dogs to run that scheme too. So, yeah, we talk about the supporting cast around Watson on offense. That defense, I get it, the Texans game was ugly, but I think you run that back and you've got a shot at a ring.
Ty, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills, you living in Buffalo. I got to ask you, as a former player in Buffalo, my son's a diehard fan, and he was like heartbroken when Diggs was traded, but he's super pumped about Keon Coleman. A lot of people don't know like what the Bills are going to do this year. I want to ask you, I mean, this offense, is it going to be as explosive as it's been in the past?
It's going to be interesting. I don't want to just jump on that bandwagon of, oh, they didn't need Stephon Diggs, and he was a cancer, and he didn't do anything the last half of the season. I mean, no, with Dorsey as OC and the way that offense was playing that first half of the year, he was on pace for a career year. I think he can still play, and they just decided philosophically to take things a different direction. They wanted to run the ball more, have more of a power rushing scheme, which helps. You know, it's a nice change of pace. Yet at the same time, Josh Allen is in his prime. How long is he going to be in his prime? You want to maximize that window with him. So I think that it's going to be a quirky balance. We'll see what Joe Brady does with the full offseason, but I think they can – I still think they'll contend for a Super Bowl because Josh Allen's in his prime, and I think that this receiving cast is – you don't have that number one guy. You don't have a Stephon Diggs, but you've got an interesting collection. I mean, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, they're going to do a lot of two tight end stuff with Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, James Cook out of the backfield, Ray Davis, who they drafted. It's definitely going to be the power of the collective in Buffalo, and I just – for the Bills' sake, you hope that they still kind of keep that pedal to the metal and don't try to make Josh Allen a game manager at any point of the season. And I think they get that. You know, I don't think McDermott got it this time last year. You know, this time last year we're hearing slide more, step out of bounds, be careful with the football. They're not saying stuff like that anymore. I think they know they've got to let him be himself.
NFL columnist Ty Dunn on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. While we are talking about other teams around the NFL, I'm really fascinated by Dallas's offseason, where they really only shed veterans and salary. They really didn't do anything in free agency. You've got Dak Prescott effectively as a lame duck quarterback with no extension in sight before the season or even in the season. Mike McCarthy appears to be on a bleep or get off the pot moment. I mean, it certainly appears that Dallas is setting this whole thing up to. It either has to work out famously for everyone, or they're going to just blow this mother up in an offseason. What's your read on that situation in Dallas? Because I just think it's kind of a wild thing, especially given the fact that Jerry Jones is just about to celebrate his 125th birthday.
His 125th birthday, as I was told, is still in that draft room, you know, sharing inappropriate stories about his sexual escapades with his daughter sitting right there. So, yeah, it's different in Dallas. It's always been different. I think Steven and Jerry, it's just this weird tug of war where, you know, Jerry has always wanted to take risk and take chances, but Steven has gained power. Steven has gained control, and he's always trying to reel that in. I think he's reeling it in to the extreme, where you do have a team that can contend for a Super Bowl, and if you're proactive, if you're not terrified of dead money like Steven Jones is, then hell yeah, you get Dak done at, what, a shade over 50 a year, so then you're able to talk to him and maybe free up money this year to go get him a weapon, get him another lineman, get him somebody on defense. You get CeeDee Lamb done. You start talking to Micah Parsons. This is what smart teams do. This is what the Philadelphia Eagles did in their own division. They got Jalen Hurts done, and then they got the receivers done. Because you know the market's only going one direction. It's not like the whole NFL is going to decide, oh, you know what, quarterback's not that valuable. Let's stop paying these guys. No, unless you just don't believe in Dak Prescott, which is fine, but then do something, right? Like, trade him. Find a quarterback. You do something bold. Instead, they sit on their hands and they get caught, you know, looking at everybody else in the NFC. Two teams since 1995 haven't reached the conference championship, and it's Dallas and it's Washington, the common denominator being just abysmal ownership. So, yeah, I think we tend to forget it all starts with the owner and it trickles down from there. If you don't have an owner that's willing to spend and stay out of the way, then you're not set up for success, and Dallas has found a way to screw that up in countless ways.
Ty, one last thing here on the podcast. You and Wyatt talked about sharing a $1,400 bottle of whiskey. Yeah, just as a broke-ass radio guy, can you just tell me what that tastes like?
Oh, my God, yeah. It was, I think it was Pappy, if my memory serves me right, and it was $1,600, and I don't know where he got it, how he got it. He insisted on giving me a pour, and I do not know why. Granted, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a healthy pour, and I don't blame him, but it was enough to get the taste, and it's definitely a taste I'll never be experiencing again for the rest of my life. I have a hard enough time, you know, getting that 1792 or Jack Daniels and busting out 50, 60 bucks for that. So thank you, Wyatt, for that. Much appreciated.
After the seventh one, they all taste the same. Ty, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
That's very true. Yes, yes. Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can listen to his full podcast with Browns guard Wyatt Teller. I know the morning show's touched on this. I mean, pretty much everybody's touched on this. And I know my Sons of the Shoe partner, Spencer German, has also touched on this. And I'm more fascinated about the implication of the conversation than I actually am. Does Deshaun Watson have pressure on him? Or does he have the most pressure on him? Because I think we kind of treat pressure as like this umbrella term. But I don't know specifically what pressure Deshaun has on him. And I think that's what, like, I know he does. I'm sure he feels the pressure of having been paid. I'm sure he doesn't like to have spent the last 2 years, 2 years ago not playing very well, last year just not being able to stay on the field. I'm sure that on some level that has to register. But the implication of he has pressure on him to say that he has as much, the most pressure in the NFL, I would simply say, like, why? I think every one of these dudes has pressure on him.
No, they do, but it still goes back to, you know, what this guy was traded for and the value of the contract that he signed. It's pretty simple. There is certainly more pressure on this guy than there is other quarterbacks.
Well, but like, do you think it means anything to Deshaun to validate the trade?
I mean, is he like to compete? Is he a competitor? Does he care what value he brings? Does he care what people think about him? Yeah, I think he does.
Well, okay. I'm sure he cares what people think about him. But when it comes to it, like you mentioned the contract. I think the contract is just something that you sign. Like, there's always pressure because you're trying to get to the next deal. I don't know that he feels pressure. Like, I feel like he feels, I guarantee
there's
you,
no
if
pressure
you ask
to get to the deal. The only pressure he's putting on himself, and that he, at least my opinion would be, that he knows he's got to perform this year. And if I were him personally, it would just be about me and looking in the mirror and be like, okay, they're paying me a lot. They gave up a lot for me. I've got to return to them on their investment. You know, like you have to.
So you said he has to perform. He knows he has to perform this year, or what?
Oh, I just think that, I mean, he's not going anywhere, I don't think, like after this offseason. But I mean, I think that it certainly would help his psyche and the Browns' performance if he plays well. I mean, if he doesn't play well this year, what are the odds he bounces back next year? I'd say very slim to none.
Well, yeah, but I think there's the NFL in and of itself, and we don't, like, I guarantee you right now there are coaches who feel the pressure of winning in the NFL. If you look at your roster and you don't feel like you're going to have a chance to be as good as maybe expectations say you are, so I do think there's this omnipresent pressure in the NFL, and I don't know that, like, we mentioned Wyatt because he was on with it. I don't know Wyatt feels the pressure right now of being in the NFL. But Wyatt is not the face of the franchise.
Wyatt.
That's actually not a bad Christopher Walken. Don't
That's
get
what
that
I
look.
Thought when you said it. You're yeah, like, Wyatt.
But I do think if you are any starting quarterback or first round pick quarterback of a team, that's pressure. But I don't know that it's like, I feel like we get this idea like there's this, you know, that pressure, that there's this gigantic difference from one face of the franchise quarterback to another. I mean, he feels the pressure to perform up to his contract. How is that different than any other quarterback in the NFL? Well, he feels the pressure to validate the decision to bring him here. How is that
different? I just don't know that any other quarterback, comparing him to any other quarterback, I don't think is a true apples to apples comparison.
Oh, that might be. That's a good point. But, like, Dak Prescott's definitely under a lot more.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Or pressure. Dak is going to have to change zip codes if he doesn't live up to some thing that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys think.
Yeah, but like Dak has put up numbers and helped that team to the best of his ability, I think, the entire time he's been there.
Well, yeah, but he hasn't won, which is the knock on Dak.
Okay.
Like, so what's the difference? So I guess maybe my point is, like, what's the difference between that and a guy who, if you don't perform this year, you're going to be moving zip codes, even though you're still
getting paid?
Can you
imagine what they'd be saying about Deshaun Watson if you were in Dallas?
I mean, I think the same thing they're saying here.
I think that there would be a lot more commentary and a lot more criticism and pressure on Deshaun if he were in that situation with the exact same amount of baggage he came here with.
I just don't see a difference. Like, I think both those guys feel pressure, but I think maybe Dax is a little bit more immediate. Because pressure also implies that something's going to happen if you don't perform. Okay, maybe the hypothetically,
you lose games.
Yeah, no, okay, but again, that how is that different than anything? So my I promise you, I'm not trying to be difficult, but there has just been this line espoused all offseason long. Deshaun has more pressure than anyone. If it's not Deshaun, it's Aaron Rodgers, and I just go like, there's already inherent pressure in the job, but beyond that, the dude has got two contracts in the NFL. He has made generational wealth. Okay, we can say personal pride. I think that's probably the same conversation that every great athlete or once great athlete has had with themselves. So I think there might be a specifically to him. Do I think there's a titch more pressure because he wants to prove to everybody he's great? Yes, but I think you could find 10 different quarterbacks in the NFL, just not for the specific reason Deshaun does. But like, do you think Deshaun anymore? Do you think Deshaun is, because there is a moment where if we look at how his PR team handled things, they were obsessed with making over the image of Deshaun Watson.
They
tried. And they did it in a way that was honestly counterintuitive to changing. They went out there and tried to basically buy love from Browns fans. Mm-hmm. And it got out, and it was a bad look. Not that it ever, and there were any repercussions for it. But, like, do you think Deshaun still feels the weight of the scandal? Because I don't know.
I would say probably. I mean, how do you not?
Because I think when you're...
time certainly helps heal certain things and makes people talk about things less.
Yeah. Well, you're just, that's not the conversation about you every time now.
No, it's not.
And so again, I don't want to, I promise you, I'm not trying to be difficult to you or anyone else, but I think we've just all arrived at this basic, this is a stock take that we all agree Deshaun has any more pressure. And I think the pressure, guys, I think it's on us and I think it's on the fans because we finally want that payoff. Like, I think it, and that doesn't mean that Deshaun doesn't care, but it just means Deshaun has probably felt this kind of pressure his whole career because it's tough to be, there are expectations. There's a weight that in terms of the public opinion and their thoughts on you, whether they love you or hate you, there is a weight that kind of shifts subtly there. But I don't think it's as dramatic as people kind of pointed to unless there is a direct or else behind it. Hey, you got to play well this year or else you're going, well, that's not happening. He'll be here next year. He'll be making $50 million here next year. It's because the reason why I've kind of made this point is we keep putting these premature deadlines. We try and deadline. Well, if he's not good here, I hate to be that guy, but we just have to be realistic about it. Like, there's a lot of pressure on him, but that pressure is not going to change one way or another whether he's good or bad this year. There's just nebulous pressure to be a franchise quarterback. 32 dudes right now in the NFL or 31 other dudes are going through that same thing. But there's nothing that it will cost Deshaun Watson because even though you're right, all right, if I stop believing you're going to do this year, I'm not going to believe you next year, that kind of thing, he'll still have a chance to make good. There's no credible fear if you're Deshaun Watson other than, man, I want to believe in myself. 216-474-0092. So we got in the conversation about pressure on Deshaun Watson. Do you think there's more pressure on Deshaun than there are on other quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't think Deshaun Watson has any more pressure on him than like the average NFL quarterback. I just think we underrate how much pressure there is at all times. Like, this is probably the lightest pressure you feel if you are either in the front office, a head coach, or whatever. You, if you think about your job, Mm-hmm. You're probably still get you're amping up for training camp. You start to develop your own expectations, how you want this to go, maybe start manifesting things. I feel like I can find you five guys with more pressure on them going into the year than Deshaun does. But with that being said, and this is, I want to make it clear, this is not specific to Deshaun. When guys say, I don't care what anybody else says, to me it automatically triggers that is not a true thing.
Mm.
I don't buy that. And here's the thing. Do I think it matters what everybody says about Deshaun? No. Do I think there's a part of him that part of his struggles the two previous years were that he was vilified, that he was a public enemy number one in NFL circles, that it was talked about, and that his previously pristine reputation has been, I mean, almost entirely on every single level shattered? How could it not? And I almost think, like, Deshaun last year gave a couple really good answers in camp where he was really, really just open and honest about where he was and, you know, coming back from everything and, you know, his struggles and all that kind of stuff. Nobody in the world believes. Because here's the thing. Most of the time, you and I are kind of similar in this. Most of the time, I don't really care. Like when we get, you know, somebody at Nick Wilson says, by the way, at DustinFox37, social media reactions brought to you on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers. Most of the time, I don't care. Somebody says something mean at me on Twitter or social media, or somebody subtweets me. Like 93% of the time, don't really care. A 7%, dude. Yeah. That's the bear right there. That's
the 7%?
Yeah, the 7% of times I do care.
Is the a-holes.
Well, yeah, that's when it bugs you. Well, no. It's the 7% of the time that I'll see something that actually will affect you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's...
That number is so high that it basically keeps me away from looking at those mentions.
Well, so it's more than 7%?
No, that's probably the right number.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to pop in when it's the 7.
See, the problem is when I'm feeling down about myself is the time when I'm most likely to like look something up on that. So that's not helping. That at 93% of the time when it's like nothing really matters, I just care about my wife and kids and having fun at my job. I don't go soliciting that stuff. Man, that's 7%. I'm like, yeah, who hates me? Which one do you think I'm not good at my job?
Who wants to say something about my take?
But yeah, well, that's because it's never about your take. It's just that you're a moron.
Yeah.
And that you don't deserve your job. That's 7%, man. Now, this being said, we played that bit of sound there from Deshaun at his camp today. He also weighed in on Amari Cooper's contract.
Yeah, Amari's going to be good. As far as the other stuff, you know, that's their business. You know, I can't get into all that. He knows that we love him and we want him back for sure.
So, it's a pretty tight response. Honestly, it's actually the best response Deshaun has given on Amari's contract. It's not quite the same that he gave at many camps. And I don't know whether, and I'm not trying to say he purposefully changed the temperature, but because he still goes in to talk about how much he loves Amari and he, you know, Amari knows our thoughts on him. But at camp, at many camps, it was, hey, we love this guy. He's doing what's best for himself. You know, he's looking out for himself. We got his back, all that. It's a little tighter response there. I don't know if you heard the difference. Like, I think that as you get closer to camp, I don't think they're going to stop saying they love Amari Cooper. But I think where the
guys will distance themselves from the whole situation?
Yes. They're going to have to answer it to some degree, but I think it's going to be really interesting. That to me is part of the leverage in this, where once you get into camp, I wonder if the tone continues just to shorten up. Maybe we're not talking about he's doing what's best for himself all the time. Because we're talking about pressure. I think Amari's got to feel a lot of pressure right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that he does.
So I think he's got to feel a lot of pressure because he's got to make a decision whether he's going to call the Browns' bluff or not, or whether the Browns are going to call his bluff, which is all right, if you don't give me a contract, am I not showing up? That's that dude. That's, I think once you get into camp, if a contract doesn't happen, once you get into camp and you're doing the thing, teammates are, you know, but the fear of missing out is real. Of my teammates are practicing right now and I'm not a part of that.
Yeah, I understand that, but he also knows that for them to be good, I mean, he's got to be good.
Yeah,
and he's got to be there, more importantly.
Well, but that's the point, is if you're Amari, the pressure of that decision, how far are you willing to go for this? And I would imagine, and I think this has been made a really good point, I think the fact that it's Amari doing it is, that the fact he's been a model citizen and the team player, the fact that he felt the need to go and do this is really, really interesting. And people harken back to Dallas. Well, in Dallas, he did the same. He is Dallas. They didn't feel him about Amari the way that I think people in Cleveland has. He's really kind of rounded the corner in what his.
I think Dallas likes anybody.
I think that's also probably fair. But that's,
I mean, name a good player that they liked.
Well, are we talking about the fans?
They don't like Micah Parsons.
But are we talking about the fans? Or are we talking about the leadership? Because it was leadership, I mean, that was down on Amari.
Both, actually.
I would say it's more the fans that's sour. But leadership doesn't like anybody who deviates off the path. So I think that's something that bears, again, it could be something, could be nothing. But hearing that, that sounds different than what we heard 6 weeks ago from Deshaun. A little tighter, a little bit more of an omission on what he's previously said on Amari Cooper. And I think that we started the segment by saying, this is kind of the low point of pressure. I bet you Amari, until camp starts and he actually makes his decision. And if he makes the decision to report in spite of not getting a contract, then the pressure's gone. But every day that he goes into camp that he holds out from that, I think it becomes a really interesting push and pull. Chris Jones actually talked a lot about this a couple of years ago. So even on his own team, I think Amari has more pressure on him right now directly than Deshaun does.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.